Welcome back to the Vinland Chronicles, a Vinland Saga podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Chad.
Hey, I'm Ronnie.
Today we're covering Season 2, Episode 11, Kings and Swords. Ronald, what did you think about the episode?
Kings and Sword or the King and the Sword?
I got Kings and Swords.
Really? Like in your notes or...
Do you...
See, this is the thing. Usually I'm a crunchy man. Crunchyroll is down right now. I'm on Netflix and it says the King and the Sword. So that's why I was questioning.
Well, I'll just take a look. I got it right here.
Okay.
Yep. Kings and Swords on Crunchyroll.
Wow, okay. All right. I'm a little bit mad about that because two very different titles, in my opinion. Do you think?
Which one do you think is more fitting?
For this episode, what do I think is more fitting? I think Kings and Swords. Well, there's only one king, though, is the thing. I was going to say Kings and Swords because there's multiple swords, but I look at Olmar, and he's definitely not a king. He's just like a miscellaneous crazy sword.
Okay.
Whereas the King and the Sword, that's like, you can't use that title for just a Season 2, Episode 11 unless it's like a game-changing episode, and I didn't really feel like this episode was game-changing. I thought it was a pretty good episode, especially once we got into it a little bit. But yeah, so I guess I'm Kings and Swords.
Okay. All right. That was a very roundabout way to get there.
Well, I felt like I was reasoning and explaining, and then I thought maybe you'd hop in at some point, but then you didn't. You kind of looked at me.
Well, I was kind of looking at you like, I didn't know. I forgot the question because then I realized that it was like not a very good question.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Chad is, he almost fell asleep on the way driving here. So we're a little worried about him. Hopefully his performance is up to par.
Good thing is, directing a podcast, way more important than driving.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stay awake for
especially
it.
Especially this podcast.
Yeah. So let's get right on into
it. Let's do it.
We got Canute and Wolf. They're going at it. They're having a little spar battle here. And Canute, he's actually moving pretty well. He looks like he's been doing this for a little bit, at least.
He's got a cool shield.
Very cool shield, and he's heavily armed. He's armored up. And even like the people around are kind of thinking that Canute's being a little bit of a badass here. You just don't see this that often, a king doing stuff like this.
Yeah, there's a lot of this stuff where you see it in shows. You see it across a bunch of different shows where they have practiced duels like this. And the whole idea is like, okay, no one ever actually gets killed. You always do the thing of once you best them, you just put the sword up by their neck to basically be like, hey, gotcha. But I'm calling BS. The way they're swinging these swords, like all it takes is one little mistake and you don't just stop once you get like... At one point, this guy goes for Canute's Achilles and Canute just happens to like jump back with the force of 1,000 winds.
If he didn't do that, his Achilles would be gone.
Yeah, Wolf isn't just going to get it right next to the ankle and be like, haha, your ankle would have been gone. He just would have chopped off his ankle.
Yeah. Now, who is Wolf exactly? Like, how did he originally meet him? Have they said that?
I don't know how he originally met him, but we come to find that he's basically like the commander of Canute's army.
Yeah, I know he's his right-hand guy. I wonder if, like, when Canute became
well,
king...
Well, for the army.
For the army.
Because, unbelievably, somehow, I have his
Weasel,
name, too.
Weaselhead Gunner?
Egg Gunner is his right-hand man, which is just unbelievable. We better come to find that Canute is just doing the classic keep your enemies closer, rather closer than your friends.
I could see that because he knows he's a scum. He was a part of the whole Askeladd traitor situation. Like, he knows he's a scum. Maybe he's like, I'll use this scum. Because
he's going to talk in a little bit, and I had this note. I'll go ahead and say this note now. I have never been... First of all, we've seen that he was scum back in Season 1, and then we kind of just tiptoed over that, done other Farmville stuff, Farmlin stuff. I've never been more confident by just hearing a guy talk and his physiognomy that someone is evil.
Yeah.
He sounds like the most evil. If I didn't have subtitles...
He sounds cartoon villainish.
Yeah, because when you read his subtitles, it's all very like political speaking and stuff, and he's like choosing his words carefully. Even if I didn't have that as like an example to be like, okay, this guy's trying to be too clean and I just heard the Japanese voice actor, which I could not understand, I'd still be like, evil. Evil yeah. guy.
Evil. He honestly reminds me of, like, he should be battling Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy. For some reason, that's what the vibe that I get. He's yeah. that evil.
The Egghead.
Gunner Egghead Sr., for some reason I called him that in the notes.
That's fine.
He's talking to Princess Astrid. Is that how you say it? Astrid.
Astrid?
Yeah. Okay. Is it Estrid or Astrid?
I didn't see where he said her name here.
Oh, he calls her Princess either Let's Astrid see, he's or Estrid.
Walk up.
As soon as he walks up to her.
Okay, I'm looking. Okay, yeah. Estrid. Estrid.
Oh, with an E?
Yeah, it's an okay. E.
Estrid. She's absolutely terrified watching her brother fight because, like you said, she can tell this is not a spar. They're actually going hard right mm-hmm. here. Wolf is apparently holding back on Canute, is what he's saying, but calling BS on it. And
really, you think Canute is so sick with it now that he could take on like the leader of the army?
I think what Canute's about to say is that basically all these Norse men are seeing, you know, Canute do this in front of them. They're like, wow, he's actually good. It looks like Wolf's going at it. When Canute uses this tactic, I think Wolf actually does have a crush on his sister. And it's every man does this, that if you have a crush on a girl, like I would do, if a Latina showed up to my basketball game, I would literally be trying my balls off out right. there. And that's what happens with Wolf here.
Yeah, we're going to get to, I don't want to get ahead of you, but this is the dumbest tactic for fighting another soldier ever.
You think so?
Yes, because it only works if you're sparring with a guy in your own town. What is he going to do on a battlefield when there's no women within, you know, 20 miles? I know, unless they're
I know,
a
but
medic.
Dude, people show up to the basketball games and I could easily be influenced out there.
No, I know that you could, but that's not what we're talking about, Chad. We're talking about Canute using a very, like, privately known thing with this guy he knows intimately as, like, a way to, like, get one up on him. Try that with any soldier on any opposing army ever.
That is true. But that I really do think that Wolf was trying in front of her a little bit harder than normal, not holding back as much.
Okay.
Like, he was holding back, and then he saw her roll up, and he's like, oh, shit. I can't let her think that Canute's better than me.
Maybe. See, I took it as the, because I think Canute is improving, but I think Wolf was trying to make the point of like what he's going to say. I like Wolf. You have that many scars. You're a guy that I kind of dig. Yeah. I think he was trying to like give Canute the opportunity to eventually like go on the offensive, because all Canute does is just like
retreat,
keeps backing up, keeps yeah. backing up, keeps backing up.
Yeah, he says that's a very bad habit of his. And a king fights by advancing and cutting his way through his enemies. And I agree on that, but also most kings don't actually do the fighting.
Right.
So I don't really... They'll never put Canute in this situation.
Well, especially for like a Norse king, like Canute has got to be the smallest one ever.
Yeah. But Canute will never be in the situation where he's leading the vanguard, like slaughtering people, you know?
Right.
Because when has the king ever done that?
That's just bad kinging.
Yeah. So he tells, this is when he tells Wolf about it. His sister's watching, uses the old, I mean, this is just a tale as old as time. I used to pull this on the basketball court all the time to men.
Oh, my dad used to when we were in like fifth grade and he was coaching our recreational basketball team. You know, at the end of every practice, we'd go and we'd try and hit two staggering free throws.
Oh, yeah.
And even though there was not a single girl in the gym, my dad would just sit there in front of all my friends while they're on the free throw line being like, oh, hey everyone, who's Reed's girlfriend? And we'd all be like, Jessica. And he'd be like, oh, Reed, Jessica's watching. And it's amazing how fifth grade boys just crumble on the free throw line at the imaginary Jessica.
And then you got to go run after.
Yeah, who's not even there. And then you got to go take a lap.
Take a lap. What was it we were talking about when somebody took a lap the other day?
I think I was trying. Yeah, I think. What were we talking about? Was that on the Patreon? Patreon.com/Ronnie and Chad. But basically our ultimate point was like more people need to take laps.
Yeah. It was somebody from back in the old days. It was on a show. They said take a lap. They literally said that.
Oh, really?
And we commented on it, yeah.
Okay. I thought it was a situation where we were like someone had gone a little bit extreme. And my whole point was like, I don't think you had to go that far. You could have just like told him to take a lap.
Oh, take a lap. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we need to start doing that to people.
I think so.
Even just at the workplace. Take a lap. Wolf, yeah, I just put here, I would love to see the backstory on how him and Wolf exactly met, because you can tell Canute really trusts the guy. Like, they're very close.
You think that Wolf isn't a Johnny come lately? He's been with him since Denmark, like when he was solely running Denmark.
I think he's got to be.
Or England. He was in England.
England, yeah, England. He was England. I think he's got to be just because of how close they are. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know. I didn't pick up on that they were that close.
I just got it because he knew that about his sister. They've been, I mean, he's sparring him. Right. I feel like he wouldn't spar somebody he wasn't close with, being the king. We see the he's got him as the captain. Just like all those details. I'm like, I wonder if... Well, that's actually a really good question now. Is this a Johnny come lately? Because if it is, Canute must have just seen this guy and been like, oh, I know he's got it in him.
Right.
Or,
well, here's the thing, too. Like, he might also just know this guy because I think Wolf's probably a little bit older than him, but Wolf might have been like Harold's right-hand man and...
I think I thought Wolf came over there when he went to go see Harold, didn't he? He was like, thanks for being my messenger or whatever. He was the guy that came to town. So I guess he had to be with him before.
Yeah, he might have been. This was my first like moment of really like putting a name to the face, right. I guess.
Okay, now that I think about it, yeah, he was the guy that came over with Canute to go. He initially talked to Harold.
Gotcha. So
he has been with him.
Okay.
We then go to a room. Gunner then walks up, being as sleazy as ever, and tells Canute that he's finished an investigation. So he's been doing investigative work for Canute, and that's when they go off privately to talk about this. Canute's talking about squeezing rich men for their gold, like getting some money out of some rich men. And if
a little, I mean, some of our favorite stuff right here, Chad. Back to our Attack on Titan days. We love taxes. Talk, and this is what it's going
because
what's going on.
If he can't squeeze some money for some rich men, what does he have to do? Raise the taxes on the entire populace.
Raise them up.
They're looking through the documents and they see a guy named Kettle, a wealthy farmer in the South. And that really catches Canute's eye, seeing that name. Canute needs more money. They basically just need more money.
Mm-hmm.
It's an expensive affair running an army. And the problem is raising taxes right after becoming the king of Denmark too would not look good. It'd cause some problems.
They need more money and more men.
Yeah. More money to get more men.
And I guess just for defense, I guess? Like, I don't understand. Do they ever say like what they're worried about or what they're aiming for next?
No, I guess he's just building up the army even more now that he's got control of both.
Yeah.
And to do that, obviously he's got to have the funds to be able to do it, or nobody's going to be joining the army. I wonder how much he pays these guys, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. That's just like another... This part of the episode didn't do a whole lot for me because I understood that there was like an political army, you know, finance situation. And I still just go back to, like, everything seemed to be running fine when you were doing England and Harold was doing Denmark. Yeah. And now you've killed him. And now it's like all these bills are past due. And you're, like, talking about raising taxes and stuff. Like, was this always a problem? Was Harold facing this problem where he was, like, running out of money to pay everyone? Or are stupid and trying to, like, do even more and so now you need more?
I almost feel like Canute is trying to do more. Like, okay, he's like, I got to get it away from Harold. I'm going to do more.
Yeah.
He's like, but to do more, I've got to have more money.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was out of greed or necessity, and I'm still not 100% sure. But
Canute would say it's out of necessity, but it's, but if you were to see it yourself, you'd be like, oh, that's out of greed.
But it's got, almost got to be greed, because, like, as we know with Kettle, all he's been, like, he has been giving, there's comments about how he gives a little bit more every year to Harold, but he's been doing this for years, and Harold's never come knocking on his door being, like, being a dick. They just kind of seem to let things run as smoothly as possible. Yeah,
and he seemed like he was actually cool with them, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they talk about forces having to be paid from somewhere. He would have to downsize if he couldn't get funds. So I think that's what he's doing, is he's getting greedy. He's getting the force way too high. I mean, you know how the we talk about military budget here. I have no idea how any of it works. But sometimes they're just like, we need to have the biggest army, the biggest, for whatever reason.
Yeah, because he's talking here. He also says, like, okay, we need to take more crown land, and that he's going to gain more fields and stuff in other ways than reclamation. Now, this, like you said, I don't understand all this, but Gunner kind of even freaks out about this too by saying, you mean by, like, requisition? So I don't, and he's even saying that's going a bit far, and I don't know if that's just basically saying, like, because Kettle's on his land. But I guess most of what Kettle's doing is, like, providing for his own, like, his own plantation. Like, most of the food's going to him. And he's saying, okay, I'm going to reacquire his land. It's going to be
government mine. Land.
And then all that stuff that he's doing, he's not just, like, paying a little bit towards us. It all comes to us.
Yeah. Basically, it's like when you taking away your favorite tree from the government comes and says, that's my tree now.
Okay.
And you're like, and then you sit there and hug it as long as possible, and then they just bulldoze it down anyways.
Yeah, but the tree was, like, the source of all my food, and then they say, okay,
all your apples.
I'm taking all the food, and then I will just give you a small portion for yourself.
Yep.
That sucks. Stay away from my tree.
I always, like, love those. There's, it's a trope in shows and movies where there is, like, a really big tree in a park that's going to get cut down. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, no, we got to stand in front of it. And then I think about the real life world.
Right.
And I'm like, I've never seen that or experienced that. It's always just been like a trope to me. I feel like all the big trees that I've seen, like, always stay intact.
Yeah. Like, as a society, we've really come around and we're like, okay, trees, don't mess with those.
Yeah. But we are in tree land, though. Georgia has a lot of trees.
Well, see, here's the thing, too. You're also getting fooled because you're talking about, like, one big tree. But think, if there's one big tree that's left, it's mainly for show, because all it means is they cut around a bunch of smaller trees that were around it, and then they're just like, well, we didn't cut them all down.
See, that's how you fool people. You just got to do that. Yeah. They learned.
This is the sacred tree that we kept up.
Yeah.
We only built 500 houses around this one big tree. We flattened 7,000 others.
So Canute comes to this realization pretty quickly that he doesn't want to raise taxes. He wants to reclaim more land. He wants to get it back. He says, kings are like swords. What can a king without a military might accomplish in this world? So yeah, he's just building the biggest, baddest, strongest army. He's going to Alexander the Great, this bitch, take over the world.
I do, like, this first 5, 8, 10 minutes, however long it was, I was kind of out of it. I'm going to be honest, because they kind of throw this stuff in. And I think it's just, the problem is we haven't seen Canute, like, at all. And there's been years that have gone by. Because he's also talking about how the, like, the people of England don't respect him. And witches, or they don't think favorably of him. And I guess last episode, that's, like, a part that I missed out on. I was kind of under the impression that things were going pretty smoothly.
See, that's what I... To me, it's like Canute is making problems that aren't there. He's trying too hard. Like, maybe... Like, when he says that, there might be, like, a few people that don't like him. But he's, like, reading the Twitter comments, and he's like, oh, everybody hates me.
That's true, too. I mean, that's kind of the issue that we're...
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's an issue or if they're doing exactly what they want to do. I gotta trust the show. But we're getting all our information from a guy who was talking to a head last episode. So.
Yeah. Most of the time, yeah. When somebody that talks to a head every night, decapitated head says that everybody hates him,
mm-hmm.
just watch out.
I mean, because even like when they're having the sparring thing, like there's a bunch of people around and they do a little dialogue with those people and no one's just like, oh, I hope he hits that little prick. They're all just like genuinely like watching the fight and comment. It's like no one has a lot of hate towards Canute that I've seen so far.
Right. So I don't know. Yeah. I guess trust the show on this. We go into the OP though. That was the latest OP I think we've ever gotten.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go instantly back to Kettle. He's here to see King Harold, but he finds out that he's dead. Thorgil tells him that, and he's really spooked by it because he's like, I didn't even know he was sick. He seemed fine the last time I saw him.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to catch on there to maybe he was poisoned by his brother.
But no. He didn't. He just can't believe his bad luck.
Thorgil, though, we find out that he is serving under Canute as one of his guards. Kettle then says, well, I'll just build a relationship with Canute and asks for an arranged meeting with Thorgil. So as soon as he says that, I mean, Canute's got to be thinking as soon as this question's asked, oh, wow, this is perfect.
Yeah,
this could not have worked out any better. Yeah. That's when Kettle starts looking for Olmar, but the young lad has wandered off into town. We also find out Olmar is 20 years old now. That was a good little nugget right there because I would not have known. He acts like a 14-year-old.
20-year-old child.
Kettle freaks out and says Olmar has probably already bumped into somebody and is arguing about who should apologize. And then we go to Olmar, who's doing exactly just that.
This guy sucks so incredibly hard. I hate the way he looks.
He looks like he should be in, Renaissance Greece lightning.
Yeah, the cloak. I don't even know what this is. Like, the cloak thing that he has, where it's like spiky bird feathers or something like that. No one else is wearing this. Kettle shouldn't allow him to wear this. And then also the skull that he has is his belt buckle. I mean, what a douchebag.
And his mustache. It's kind of douchey.
A lot of people in the show play fast and loose with the facial hair, so I was going to give him that. But yeah, it is douchey.
He's arguing with a young guy who is pissed that his cloth is in the mud. Is it a rug or a cloth? I kind of missed that.
Yeah, it's just some fabric.
The guy claims to be an honest businessman, just like his dad. And as soon as somebody self-proclaims to be an honest businessman, just like their dad, you know they're not an honest businessman. No one just goes, I am an honest, like, think about it.
See, here's the thing. This guy was in the presence of Olmar, so I didn't even pay attention. I was just like, yeah, this guy is a stand-up guy.
Yeah, this guy's a very honest guy.
Who looks a little bit like Thorfinn.
Olmar's ready to fight this young lad, though, and he actually pulls out a sword, surprising everybody, over nothing.
Yeah.
I love how Olmar's trying to act tough like this. He still has not ever killed anybody. He's not a Norse man. But he even combs his hair like this is the part where he combs his hair like he's in Greece.
I mean, honestly, his hair is a little bit like yours nowadays, Chad.
Okay, come on.
It is, though.
No. Mine's better. Second off, mine's better.
Well, yours is a little bit darker, so yours is better.
And I'm not a ginger, and anything wrong with that.
That's what darker stood for. But yeah, I mean, he's got it in like a little ponytail bun sort of thing. He's got one strand kind of hanging in his face. That's just the look that you've been doing a lot lately. I'm just observing is all I'm doing.
But do I do it like that, though, where I comb it back and I look like I should have a leather jacket on?
I have not seen you use a wooden comb with your hair already in a ponytail. I'll say that.
Okay.
That going for you. But you do have a wooden comb, so.
I do have a wooden comb. Kettle then shows up. He's pissed off that his idiot son is always starting fights. Hits him, then gives a bag of coins to this guy who's... And this young guy realizes that this is a lot of money. We just keep reiterating that Kettle is a very rich man.
Yeah, he does the move of like, oh, I hope that, is this enough to cover it?
Yeah.
Will this be okay?
The kid starts to accept it, but no, the kid's dad shows up and forces him to give change, okay? He's walking up, seems kind of old from behind. We get a front view. It's old-ass Leif Erikson. He's apologizing for his son's behavior. We've got old man Jenkins here. Everything is good, Ronnie. What did you think about seeing our boy Leif Erikson?
This old fart, man. His crow's eyes around his eyes are so bad now. They just look like stitches. They look like they've, like, people have stitched new eye holes into him. He's so old. I mean, this guy. And here's the thing. We're getting ready to do this whole thing of, like, oh, he's going to call this guy Thorfinn and everything. He's so old, I did not know if he was fooled. That was the exciting part, right? I was trying to figure out. Fooled him? I was trying to figure out if he had been fooled and it's just been like a confused old man, or if he was still like doing some sort of move. He's doing some sort of move, but the move is still, I don't, why? We'll talk about it.
What do you mean, some sort of move? I think this guy's name is actually Thorfinn.
No, it's not.
Bro, are you serious?
Are you serious?
Yes.
No, you're not.
No, I'm dead serious. No, I think this guy's name is Thorfinn.
No, you're not.
So do you do you think this guy, do you think this guy told him, yeah, I'm Thorfinn, and then he goes, no, you're not, but the guy just rolled with the name Thorfinn?
You think this guy's name is actually Thorfinn?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, we'll get into it.
I don't think so.
I think it is. Maybe I'm wrong. Because why would this guy just go along with that name?
Okay, well, why would this guy, why would Leif Erikson just be like, oh, your name's Thorfinn? Roll with me. I'm looking for a Thorfinn. You're not the one, but come on.
I think he found a guy named Thorfinn, and he's like, well, today's your lucky day because you're my Thorfinn now.
Yeah, that's even weirder than what you said.
We learn this kid is his adopted son. And his name is Thorfinn, like you said. And he's got bug eyes. They give him the nickname Bug Eyes. He definitely has bug eyes. Kettle says one of his own slave, or he doesn't say slaves, but he says one of his own goes by the same name, who's quiet and works very hard. Leif asks if Thorfinn is a slave. He says yes, and describes him perfectly to a T.
Mm-hmm.
But does, and that's when, you know, fake Thorfinn, Forthin is what I call him.
Okay.
He tells Leif to not get his hopes up. But that's when Leif is explaining that he's been looking for this Thorfinn for a very long time. He is a warrior and from Iceland. And Kettle doesn't know that, so.
So I've been developing my theory while you've been saying all that. I think that Leif Erikson, he's been on the hunt for Thorfinn. He came across this guy, kind of knew that it wasn't, but either got him as like a slave, or basically what I think, this guy was a conniving little rigmarole who got himself into some trouble, and then Leif Erikson's just like, I'm looking for someone who looks a lot like you, go by Thorfinn, that's this guy's name, and I'll like help cover for you if you do some work for me.
Ooh, okay, so he's now, it is like his son, but it's technically his just like right-hand man worker.
It's like a name change to make sure that like whoever's looking for this guy doesn't find him, and Leif Erikson's kind of like helping him out.
I think Leif Erikson's just a good guy and decided to adopt this kid. So.
Yeah. Leif Erikson's a great guy.
All right. So you just find Leif Erikson could literally cure cancer and, you know, save the planet. He could literally like,
well, haven't seen him do anything worthwhile along those lines at all. Here's what Leif Erikson is, okay? Because he's got a lot of people fooled, and I'm not falling for it. Yeah, every time we see him, does he seem lovely? Yes, okay? But is he just the kind of guy who's getting by on being super nice to everyone he talks to, but does he actually do anything at all?
It's like Meryl Streep. You see her on camera, she seems lovely. Heard she's a bitch off.
It's most awesome. Perfect example. I was thinking it, but I couldn't find the words. It's Meryl Streep. Because we're getting ready to see this guy. Sorry to get ahead of myself. Leif Erikson wants to go on a 10-day excursion, and this guy's like,
with favorable winds, Ronnie. With
this other guy's trying to get home to his family, and Leif Erikson's like, well, no.
Well, I think this time we finally found him. Yeah, how many times has he done this? Where he's like, I think we found him.
According to this guy getting this boat ready, a lot.
But they all listen to him. That's what's the craziest part. It's all respect him.
It's also so creepy that this guy calls him dad.
So, okay, let me think about this here. I think that this guy, well, it had to be in the past 4 years, because Thorfinn and Einar meet each other as slaves, and then they work together, and then like three more years pass. So it's probably been 4 to 5 years since he's seen
Thorfinn.
Thorfinn's
how old now?
I don't know. I just know that it took them 3 years to clear the land. They had already been with each other for about a year. He was probably a, you know, expedition slave for another year. So I think it's been 5 years since Thorfinn and Leif saw each other. 5 years since the Askeladd incident.
Okay. So Thorfinn is at least 20. Would you say that?
Yeah, and he might even be older than that.
Right. This guy, I might give him, this Thorfinn, as you called him, might be a little younger than actual Thorfinn. Like maybe he's 19, 20.
Okay.
And I just don't think that, you know, a 16-year-old, especially growing up in these times, just starts calling...
You think Diddy did something?
Starts calling him Leif Erikson dad, especially around like big macho men like Kettle.
Do you think Leif Erikson's pulling like a Diddy type situation?
I don't know what... I don't even know what Diddy's doing. It's just weird. All right?
Okay.
Do we know what Diddy's done?
Diddy. Do we know what Diddy's done? That could be like a rap lyric.
I'm sounding like way too much a little bit like Team Diddy right now. I'm not at all. I'm just like trying to figure out like what he's done.
I love his music too. I mean,
I could not name a song. What is a Diddy song?
He's in that like famous movie. All I remember Diddy from is playing him in literature class junior year.
What are you talking about?
You don't remember Diddy in that famous movie? Oh, let's look at it.
I thought it was P. Diddy. Why did he just change to Diddy at some point?
That's just like his street name. What movie?
That doesn't make you saying that doesn't make any sense.
What movie has P. Diddy been in? Dude, it's like a car named Desire, street car named Desire.
This is the Police song. Why is it Diddy's top song on Spotify?
Here it is, A Raisin in the Sun. Ever seen it?
What are you talking about?
The famous movie that we all watched in literature class. Yeah, this is so it.
What's the name of it?
A Raisin in the Sun. It's about a African-American family struggling with poverty.
And Diddy's in it?
Yeah, Diddy's the main guy.
Really?
It's a great film.
It's a 1961 drama / melodrama. P. Diddy was not in this.
No. A Raisin in the Sun is a 2008 film. It's about that book. It's a book it's on. That's why we did it in literature class.
Okay, well, it was also, just so you know, it was also a film in 1961.
Okay.
All right, Raisin in the Sun. No one else did this in literature class. This was the only literature class ever that watched this film.
Okay. Well, I learned a lot from it, so.
All right.
Where are we at?
Arrest him. I'm not Team Diddy. I'm just trying to figure out exactly what he did, you know?
I don't know, dude. Sue him for being in a film in 2008 called
Raising
the Sun.
And I swear to God, like, everywhere I'm looking, I've looked up seven things now. Was there not a P before? It used to be P. Diddy, was it not?
What do you mean?
Are you... Me saying that, does that completely, like, throw you for a loop?
Yeah.
You don't know about...
No, it is P. Diddy.
So why are you gaslighting me like that? Yeah, Puff Daddy P. Diddy. Now it's just Diddy. What happened to the P? I think he took it from Little Boys.
Whoa. Okay, allegedly everyone.
He gave the P to Little Boys, so now he's just Diddy.
Allegedly. I will not have that slander on here.
Figured it out.
Because he could be completely innocent for all we know. The evidence looks to be on his side.
Doesn't seem like it. I just don't know exactly what he did.
All right. Leif then goes to tell his little crew, you know, about the situation. It's 5 days there and back, Ronnie, with favorable winds. It's not 10 days there. You made it sound worse than it is. It's just 5 days there, 5 days back. The winter's coming soon. It could, the situation could end up being terrible, but it's not like they're going to do it. Okay.
Well, then it's also like, where are they going back to Iceland? How far away are they from Iceland?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because that's the thing, too. I feel like that
I feel like he doesn't go back to Iceland. I think he's just a sailor, right?
Well, they might be going to Greenland, because that's what one of the guys says. Is okay. Like the Greenland seas will freeze over, could freeze over by then.
Thorgil then...
And we know how Leif Erikson performs when ice around ships.
Yeah, watch out. Those guys need to watch out. They might get eaten. Thorgil gets a meeting with Kettle. Kettle's like, oh, it must be from the gifts that I brought. But we all know Canute was just so happy to hear that, because this is going to go right along with what he wants. He tells Olmar to be polite to the king. Don't do anything irrational. So they go in and bow. Canute accepts the gifts from Kettle. I love how he just says, I accept your gifts. There was a line that he said that was just such a dick remark.
Yeah,
I can't remember exactly how it was.
He like made it seem like they just checked up on all of his stuff.
Yeah.
He says, I took a look at your offerings. They were all of very high quality, so I will accept them. He doesn't say so, but he might as well. Like,
yeah.
It is. It's just a weird way to say it. That's not kingly talk.
No.
Kingly talk is to like make a huge deal out of it, even if it's not a big deal.
He says, I have no intention to change the way my brother did dealings. But just as he's, you know, accepting offers, Olmar stands up in the forefront of the king.
Yeah.
And he has a big request. He has to join the service and the crew. He wants to be right alongside his brother.
Yeah, I had this point on earlier in the season. You kind of shot me down, didn't like what I had to say. At what point do you look at Olmar and just say, okay, that's bad parenting. This is on you, Kettle. Because I wanted to say it earlier on the season. You kind of shot me down. The fact that he's still carrying him around, I don't care if he's like your heir in line, even though I think Thorgil would probably be like your main heir. You can't keep rewarding this bad behavior. Shitty parenting.
He's not rewarding it though, is he? Is Kettle?
Have you ever seen him like outside of getting a stern talking to, any like punishment?
So you think Thorgil, just because he sent his son off to war, that's the only reason he acts more in line than...
Well, we know that he's a little psychotic as well.
Yeah.
But he's at least not
stupid.
Childlike.
Yeah, not immature.
He's like a little bit too barbarian, a little too crazy. Olmar's just a 12-year-old little bitch inside of a 20-year-old's body.
Yep. Kettle is fighting him off. Canute then tells Kettle, though, that it's fine, that he wants to see how he handles a sword. So they put down a roasted pig right in front of him. And he tells Olmar to cleave it. Olmar then does a karate yell and starts cutting the pig like he's, you know, doing... Well, how is he doing this?
Well, we don't see it initially, Chad, and then what we come back and we find is that he's essentially...
sawing it?
He's trying to cut the pig as if you were trying to use a butter knife to carve a turkey. That's what he's doing.
I mean, it's legit one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen.
Or it's like, yeah, if you... I'm trying to think of the situation. You say you go to a barbecue where people just really don't have a clue what's going on, like the host, and they have like a piece of barbecue chicken, and then they give you a plastic knife with it, and you go, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yep.
That's what he's doing.
It's so embarrassing. I mean, how can you... It's one thing if you weren't ready for this and somebody threw you out there. You're like, do this. But he even stood up and forced himself to do this. And this is like the... This is what he does. This is bad parenting.
Thank you. I'm glad you came...
Teach your son how to use a sword.
And how to sharpen it. Because I don't think he's sharpening it either.
Canute says he'll consult with his captain and make his decision tomorrow on whether or not he will join the crew.
It's a really bad tryout, man. when you do that for a few seconds and then the guy goes, he stands up and says, I've seen enough, I'll let you know tomorrow, that's just a really bad tryout.
Oh, man. So Kettle is crying in his bed, going to sleep. Kettle really does. He needs a bigger backbone. The stuff that he, this episode, he looked scared and nervous when it came, when he found out Harold was dead and he had to deal with Canute. Now he's crying himself to sleep. Omar and Thorgal go to get drinks. I can't believe Thorgal's even being seen with this guy, getting drinks with him at night. I mean, why would you do this? But yeah, he's talking about telling Omar, this is going to be so embarrassing. I'm going to get teased for this for a while. Omar's crying on the table like he's a 12-year-old child.
Yeah, they're just farmers, man. That's what it comes down to.
They really are. He is not cut out for this shit
at
all. They're
farmers in a war camp. You got to get out of here, get back to the fields.
Yeah. Wolf says, Wolf tells Canute that men like him die first on the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks his thoughts on something else. And Wolf kind of just kind of, he gets the picture here. He says the young man can be very useful. He's a foolish Norse man and will act how we want him to.
Yeah, I liked that. That's another example of how these guys know each other a little bit better, because he gives him like the opinion from the leader of the army. And Canute's like, okay, I understand that. Now let me hear your other opinion aside from all that.
Yeah, and
now I don't know what they're gonna do. I don't know how they see that they can use him.
Yeah, Canute then says it's so the people can live in peace. I feel for them, but they must pay the price. And he says Kettle's farm will be the first we reclaim. End of episode. Yeah, so they're going to somehow use Olmar to get what they want. That's the plan here.
Yeah, so I don't know, because it seems like Canute could pretty much just straight up go up to Kettle now and say, like, hey, we're going to reacquire your land. So I don't know if they're going to do something like give Olmar a task, have him royally fuck it up, and then be like, hey, to pay for your son's war crimes, we're going to reacquire your land.
So the Canute's whole thing here is he reads the Twitter comments way too much. He doesn't want people to say bad things about it, is what it just seems like.
Mm-hmm.
So, because everything he's done so far is like, oh, I don't want to just raise the taxes, then people will get mad at me. He's like, but if I give a reason to do it, a big enough reason happens for me to do that, then I can do it. So now he's like, oh, I don't want to take Kettle's land, you know, just straight up, because then he'll be mad at me. But we can use Olmar and get the land, and then it'll be the son's fault, not my fault.
Yeah, he'd be a great chess player the way he's thinking ahead.
Yeah. But yeah, it's also interesting because obviously we know who's on Kettle's farm. Our boy, the real Thorfinn, is out there. And I want to see Canute and Thorfinn face to face.
Yeah, this episode, it was definitely kind of a bridge episode. I'm excited to see the world start to collide. Like, Kettle's met Canute. Canute is going for Kettle's land. You know, I still can't believe it if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, but Leif Erikson is still on pursuit of Thorfinn. And Thorfinn, as we know, is a very changed man, so who knows how that's going to play differently this next time. Especially since they're, like, really showing off as... They're really trying to show us that Leif Erikson is very astute. So I wonder if there will be an element of when he sees Einar, that he's talked with him before. And then I wonder if Einar will pick up on the fact that, oh my god, this is the guy who... like, has been spending all this time looking for you. You're so lucky. I've got no one, and this guy's literally gone all over the world trying to find you. And if he gets mad at Thorfinn for that.
And also, too, this goes back to Sverkel. Old man Sverkel literally said that, talked about Kettle always wanting to get more land, be a big rich guy, how it's going to come back to bite him in the ass. that's literally what's happening right now.
Yep. He's worked his way up the leaderboards, and now he's at the top, so he's the biggest fish that they're going to go after.
Yeah, he's got the biggest target on his back now because for solely the reason that he said.
If he just kept his small little farm, kept paying his little dues of crops,
yep,
he would have been fine.
But yeah, check out the Patreon, guys. We're 3 episodes ahead on there, patreon.com/RonnieandChad. Also doing SpongeBob, learn a little something. You got anything else?
No, I don't think so.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
And peace. I will also talk with you later. I've been Ronnie.
I've been Chatty.
Peace.
Peace.